الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, ulama, brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises are due to Allah alone, that Allah, in His infinite grace and mercy, Allah has shown us these moments in these circumstances. On a global scale, if we have to just ponder over the happenings and compare it against the life that we are living, there can be only one thing coming out from us, and that is shukr and gratitude. There is no room, brothers, for anything other than that. All praise is due to Allah for every favor that He has bestowed us. We'll start off with this dua, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read every morning and every evening. He said, "Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah." Oh Allah, bless me with afiyah, insofar as my worldly affairs are concerned, and insofar as my affairs of the afterlife are concerned. So he commenced with this one statement. And then he said, "Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah." Oh Allah, I'm asking of you forgiveness, and once again I'm asking of afiyah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spelt it out and he said, "Fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali." Insofar as my worldly affairs are concerned, sorry, my religious affairs are concerned, my worldly affairs are concerned, my family and my possessions. Now the big question remains, brothers, that what is afiyah? What is afiyah? Afiyah, my brothers, is translated as well-being, peace of mind. A person is tranquil in his life. And conversely, when afiyah is gone, then there is parishani, restlessness, uneasiness, and so on and so on. My Ustad, Al-Muhaddith Al-Kabir, he makes this one point, and he used to say, between the option of financial prosperity versus afiyah, peace, well-being, tranquility, peace of mind, afiyah is a far greater ni'mah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spelt it out in this narration when he said that man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi mu'afan fi jasadihi indahu qutu yawmihi faka'annama hizat lahu ad-dunya bihadafiriha. That person who commences his morning, he is at peace, he is safe insofar as his surroundings are concerned. Mu'afan fi jasadihi, with regards to his jasad, his body, a person is in afiyah. And then the third thing he said, he has his provision for the day. Indahu qutu yawmihi. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu is saying, just the provision for the day. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as though the dunya has been thrown at your feet. So you don't have to have everything. Gives us the important lesson that real wealth, brothers, is peace of mind, tranquility. Look at it the other way. A person may have financial prosperity, but a person is running every day, hither, thither, sometimes to a courtroom, sometimes to a prison, sometimes to a hospital. Parishani, uneasiness, insofar as his family, his children, his business, his livelihood, his home, and so on and so on. Therefore, Quran tells us, brothers, that this inner peace can only be found, in the obedience of Allah. In Surah Taha, Allah Ta'ala says, turn away from Allah, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. You will live a miserable life. And in another place, Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. In Allah's remembrance, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience in the broad sense of the concept. Because dhikr, this is meant to be a vehicle for a person to come onto total obedience to Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that lies tatma'innul qulub, peace of heart, the tranquility, the serenity, the peace of mind which every person is in search of. There's one famous narration, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentions the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدُكُمْ عَنِ النَّارِ إِلَّا قَدْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. There isn't a single action that will take you to heaven and that will distance you from hell except that I have commanded you towards it. And then he said, وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ وَيُبَاعِدُكُمْ عَنِ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا قَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنِ. Every action that will take you closer to hell and distance you from heaven, I have cautioned you from that. And then he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to me with a few ordinances. Now this is relevant in the life of every person. Because let's face it, brothers, every person, the overwhelming concern is a person's livelihood. But everything has to be inspected against what? Against the prophetic model. What has he left us on? What has he taught us? What is the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah? We have to keep on revisiting this. What does Allah want from me? What teachings did his Rasul leave me with? So Rasulullah ﷺ says, Jibreel came to me and he gave me these few ordinances. He told me, أَلَا وَإِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ قَدْ نَفَثَ فِي رُوحِي. Number one, أَنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوت حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. No soul will leave this world until it consumes its full portion, its full allotment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided and decreed, how many steps each person will take in this world? How many breaths and how many heartbeats? In the same way, how many sips of water and how many morsels? That too, my brothers, is ordained. According to the hadith, Rasulullah SAW said 50,000 years before Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, Allah Ta'ala decided that. So the first thing Jibreel told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا وَإِنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوتْ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. Then أَلَا فَتَّقُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. Allah Ta'ala bless us, my brothers, with the true realization of what this taqwa is. Open the Quran. This is something which is repeated over and over in every walk of life. Salah, taqwa, fasting, taqwa, jihad, taqwa, everything, taqwa, taqwa. The sermons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the occasion of Eid, on this occasion, everything that I exhort you, O my ummah, towards taqwa. Now here, in the business arena, I exhort you towards taqwa. Fear Allah. As an employer, fear Allah. As an employee, fear Allah. As a tenant, fear Allah. As a landlord, fear Allah. In every regard. Time of the lease, 100 promises. After that, brothers, a person, he got money for everything. Now he's not honoring his lease. Employer and employee. Generally, people and always come and complain to the ulama. They say, see, my employer is like this. But as an employee also, give us your side also. You're not telling us how your boss lent you a vehicle, how you abused it. Be fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins upon us adal and justice. Equally as much as he has to answer to Allah, so too do you have to answer to Allah. Husband, fear Allah. Wife, fear Allah. Parents, fear Allah. Children, fear Allah. In every regard, in every sense of it. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, he explained it. He said, what is taqwa? He said, Allah yaraka rabbak haythu nahak. Don't let your Lord ever find you in a condition that He has prohibited you from. Allah yaraka rabbak haythu nahak. Let your Lord never find you in a condition that you are displeasing Him. So coming back to that narration, he said, Ala fattakullah. The second thing is, wa ajmilu fi talab. One explanation given by the muhaddithin, adopt moderation in the pursuit of your sustenance. Adopt moderation in the pursuit of your sustenance. It's not in our hands. It is in the hands of Allah. And we have to remind ourselves over and over again. That's why, brothers, in the Quran also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. One is musabbibul asbab, and one is the asbab. Shop, job, degree, office, import, export, merchandising in our business, all these things fall under the ambit of asbab and means. But we have to remind ourselves over and over again that every single customer enters only by the permission of Allah. You know, you go to some countries, you'll see, you walk in India, there'll be 20 shops in a line, everybody is selling fabric. What is it that prompts a person who's walking on that road to discard the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 16, 18, 19, and to enter the 20th one? It is by the divine hukam and will of Allah. So that's why, brothers, you see, Allah Ta'ala says that we have a sirat mustaqim. It's a very straight path. If you just have to study this ayah where Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا. There's a straight path. And then Allah says, فَاتَّبِعُوا. Just stick to it. You want to go from point A to point B, you want to go from Durban to Maritzburg, you need to get onto the freeway. Just stay on the main cause. We won't say, the Sirat-e Mustaqim is a very straight one. Here we'll call it a cause because the road is not straight. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Stick to it. لَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ. Don't take any of the side roads. No deviations, diversions. Stick to the obedience of Allah. Allah says, lest you lose your way. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Imagine a person now here at the first offer and beer in Pinetown, he gets off and he starts moving in the northerly or east or southerly direction. And he continues driving. Are you going to reach your destination? So Jibreel says that convey this to your ummah, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Adopt moderation. You can do what is within your capacity. But at the end of the day, it is only in the hands of Allah. We'll end off speaking on those things via which we will draw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help insofar as this matter of rizq is concerned. But let's finish the narration first. Then he said, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Put your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can do everything right according to as you understand it. But if you turn away, from Allah and against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system, then there'll never be barakat and blessings. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Then Jibreel tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعَاشِ اللَّهِ. إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that He's not giving it to you at the moment. You know, sometimes we want things. But ponder over this. Ponder over the relationship of mastery and bondsmanship. What does Allah owe us? Absolutely nothing. One day after the Isha Salah, Rasulullah SAW, he turned around and he told Sahaba-e-Kiram, 100 years from today, none of you will be here. We all just numbers. You're just a stack. But it comes down to what? Where Allah Ta'ala speaks about how He dealt with the previous nations. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا. Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. I made you the khala'if. I made you the existing nation. The vicegerents of the earth, those who will occupy the earth. لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. To see one thing only. I'm here to observe your action and deed. If you will obey Allah, you will add value to your life. Your dunya will be good as well as your akhirah. And turn away from Allah to our own peril. So he says, وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعَاشِ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. This is the highlight of the bayan, brothers. This is worthy of being written in gold. And gold is too cheap. Jibreel tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that let not a delay from the side of Allah in so far as your sustenance is concerned prompt you to seek it in His disobedience. Let not, listen to it one more time, let not a delay from the side of Allah in so far as your sustenance is concerned prompt you to seek it in His disobedience. You can do what you want, but you cannot defeat the ends of Allah Ta'ala's decisions. Allah says that I'm not giving it to you. We're going to override Allah's decision. Allah has a time for everything. But what we do have is we have salah, we have dua, we have turning to Allah, we have enhancing our relationship with Allah, beseeching Him, reading Suratul Waqia every day, making the khidmah of our teachers and our parents. This is the asbab, reading Suratul Waqia every day to take from Allah. Adopting taqwa, reading istighfar every day. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that I'm not giving it to you, you just have to adopt sabr. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you at a later point in your life. But should He decide not, then take consolation from this fact, my brothers, that by and large, Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all lived lives of poverty, lesser means, and abstention from the world. This morning I read the narration. Imagine the Nabi of Allah, he comes into the house. He asks Aisha, is there anything to eat? She says, no, nothing. So he says, okay, then I'm fasting. Nothing in the house of Nubuwat. In the house of prophethood, nothing to eat. Okay, I'm fasting. And then the next day, she had something very paltry. So he said, okay, I'm opening my fast today. So وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعَاصِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرِكُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. You can only acquire and achieve the goodness, khair, barakat, blessings in your sustenance in the obedience of Allah. This was the last thing Jibreel told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So brothers, don't panic. What we do have is turning to Allah. Quran cautions us, more often than not, it is the want to what? To impress. Boastfulness, mutual rivalry, the want to show off more. Allah says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ Play, lahun, amusement, watafakhur, watakathur, fil amwali wal awlad. So if Allah Ta'ala decided that it's not happening now, be happy with the decree and the will of Allah. We'll end off with this one narration. This narration comes in Hayatul Sahaba. Ali radiallahu anhu comes to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I always say this, brothers, that the effort in the world is always about materialism. And the effort of prophethood always about spirituality. So much so, brothers, that even people who are not Muslims nowadays, they are feeling that vacuum, they are feeling a void in their lives. They are looking for some kind of spirituality, because why? They are feeding their nafs with so much of materialism, but at the end of all this, they're still feeling that emptiness. There's a kind of emptiness in the heart. And in the effort of prophethood, that is why we have salah, the remembrance of Allah, the recitation of the Quran, pilgrimage, supplication to Allah, and so on and so on. So Ali radiallahu anhu comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Oh Ali, I got 500 goats. 500 goats. I'll give you that, or I'll give you something else. I got 5 kalimat, 5 du'as I'll teach you. It's actually one du'a, but 5 statements. Make your choice." Now, Ali radiallahu anhu, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, son-in-law, there was nothing too much to think about. Now, put ourselves in that situation. Somebody comes over there, there's one parcel, 200, 500k. 500 goats. We won't even think twice. We'll already start fumbling, making excuses, start thinking about interpretations, that was then, now is now. Spirituality is not going to pay my bills, and so on and so on. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he says, okay, I'll make my choice. I'm not interested in the goats. I'll take the dua. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him that, oh Ali, say this, Allahumma ghfir li dhambi. Oh Allah, forgive me for all my sins. Maghfirat. With every salah, my brothers, ask for forgiveness. Wa wassi' li khuluki. Grant me a sublime character. Grant me broad shoulders. Let me be a punching bag. I'll be the punching bag in the family, it's okay. But at least I created unity. And the one who's there to raise his finger all the time and say that, you know what, me, I don't take nonsense. I say it as it is. You haven't united. Sometimes make sabah. You don't have to say something every time. Ya Allah, grant me broad shoulders. Then he said, وَقَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي That, oh Allah, you grant me contentment in my sustenance. However much you have written, Ya Allah, you grant me happiness. Remember, brothers, if there is obedience to Allah, then the sustenance will be like a rubber band. Inshallah, needs will get fulfilled. Because it is the promise of Allah that a person who pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will never forsake him. وَبَارِكْلِي فِي رِزْقِي Bless me in my sustenance. And وَلَا تُذْهِبْ قَلْبِي إِلَى شَيْءٍ صَرَفْتَهُ عَنِّي Don't let my heart go in a direction where you don't want it to go. So one more time, I'll just read it to terminate. So he chose this over the 500 goats. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. Wa wassi' li khuluqi. Wa barik li fi rizqi. Wa qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Wa la tudhib qalbi ila shay'in sharaftahu anni. May Allah Ta'ala ease everybody's affairs of rizq and sustenance. Allah Ta'ala provide for us pure halal sustenance. Those who are in difficulty, may Allah Ta'ala ease, you know, their difficulty. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bless us with barakat and blessings, which is actually the most important thing. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.